but this could be considered a sequel to last week, a companion piece to last week. We spoke last week about Bikur Cholim, so I'd like to speak tonight a little bit about a very similar concept that certainly can easily be mentioned in the same breath, and often is, and that is the concept of Nichum Aveilim, which is alluded to in this week's Parsha, even though this week's Parsha is rife with inyanim that are relevant to Avelis. The beginning of the Parsha deals with the Ptira of Sara and touches on many topics of Hesped and Kfura and Avelis, but the Gemara actually picks up on the Nichum Aveilim angle, not so much in reference to Sara, but rather in reference to Avram. That later on in the Parsha, in the end of the Parsha, after Avram passes away, so the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mevarechim, and the Gemara says in Sota, the Gemara that we referred to last week, in Sota and Daf Yudalet, the Gemara which discerns all these midos out of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, the whole spirit of Halachta Bedrachav, so the Gemara says, we see from this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Avram, blessed Yitzchak, as he was mourning for Avram, so we see that one of the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nichum Aveilim. And that could be taken, and then here we'll just quickly recap a little bit the discussion from last week, the part that's relevant to this. This could possibly be taken as a source for a mitzvah d'oraisa of Nichum Aveilim, because as we mentioned last week, there is a strong opinion to take the Gemara literally, the Gemara in Sota, which interprets the imperative of Halachta Bedrachav, the imperative of following after the Ribono Shel Olam, and the Gemara says, how is the Shayach to walk, Achrei Hashem Elokecha Telechu, how is the Shayach to walk after God? Isn't God a burning fire? So how do you follow Him? How do you walk after Him? The Gemara says, you're not physically walking after Him, but rather you walk after HaKadosh Baruch Hu by following in His midos, you follow in His attributes. So the Gemara then tells us a number of attributes HaKadosh Baruch Hu had, and one of them is that He's Mevakar Cholim, that we discussed last week, and we saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avram when he was recovering from the Mila, and another we see from this week's parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also Menachem Aveilim. And we see that from the fact that he comes to be Mevarech Yitzchak after Avram passed away. So just to quickly recap the points from last week that are relevant to this discussion, just in a minute or two. So we mentioned last week that the Rambam in the 14th parak of Hilchos Evel writes that there is a general imperative of Yahavt L'Recha Kamocha, a general mitzvah to do chasadim that comes out of this mitzvah of love your neighbor as yourself, apart from the Parshas Kedoshim. And the specific manifestations of chesed that we have, Bikur Cholim, and Nichum Aveilim, Hachnasas Kala, all the specific mitzvahs of chesed that we have, those are actually mitzvahs d'Rabbanan that are patterned along the lines of this general mitzvah of the Ahavta Rech HaKamocha. And we mentioned then that is following the Rambam's general approach, that the Ahavta Rech HaKamocha, which is phrased in the positive, is indeed to be taken as a positive commandment, that you do things, that you treat others the way you would want yourself to be treated. We mentioned last week that the many Rishonim, most prominently the Ramban, were reluctant to consider this to be a positive mitzvah, because it's very daunting. To love others as much as you love yourself, it's very challenging, and it's hard to keep up with something like that. You work hard to support your family, to make sure your life is taken care of. It's very hard to imagine that anyone has a responsibility to worry about everyone else to the same degree as they worry about themselves. So for the reasoning of that kind of logic, so the Ramban and others believe that the Pasuk is really coming more in the negative and coming to tell us not to do bad things to others that we wouldn't want done to ourselves. That's the Gemara and Shabbos that he's picking up on. But the Rambam seemed to be of the opinion, in general, not just in the context of Chesed, but in general, that it's a positive commandment, a commandment calling for a positive behavior, that the Ahavta Rech Kamocha tells us that you should treat others the way you treat yourself, the way you would want yourself to be treated. And therefore, all the mitzvahs of Chesed, all the acts of Chesed that one would do, fall under this rubric of the Ahavta Rech Kamocha. But still, the specific ideas that we have, he was of the opinion that they are a drabbanim. And we discussed last week a little bit some achronic suggestions as to why there should be a need to pattern specific mitzvahs drabbanan, when we already have this general mitzvah min haTorah v'Ahavta Samocha, and we discussed Rabbi Bleich's article that there is a limitation to v'Ahavta Samocha. If we take v'Ahavta Samocha as just what we want, so that might result in a limited empathy for others. And really, the goal of v'Ahavta Samocha is going to ask us to actually be on top of what others would want for themselves. And maybe I'm going to be sick, and I'm going to say I don't want anyone to come to me. So therefore, when the next person's sick, I'm not going to go to him. So in order that we should develop a proper sensitivity to not only what we would automatically want, but also to what others would want, So therefore, the Chazal asked us to have certain specific ideas in mind, which are, in that way, a fulfillment of the general mitzvah min HaTorah of Yehavta Recha Kamocha. We discussed also the comment in the Sefer Siach Yosef, that really there are two separate mitzvahs that command these acts of chesed. On the one hand, the commandment of Yehalachta L'Drocha, which we started with, and the commandment of Yehavta Recha Kamocha, and they address different angles. Mitzvah of Halachta B'Drocha asks us to perfect our midos in imitation of Hashem, and therefore every act of chesed that we do is an attempt to perfect our midos as a step in this project. And in addition to that, there's the fact that people actually need things, and Yehavta Recha Kamocha tells us we have to address these needs, and that's more of a mitzvah ben adam l'chavero as opposed to the first, which is more of ben adam l'makom, or perhaps ben adam l'atzmo, however you want to look at it. But these different angles both apply in general mitzvahs of chesed. And all of that discussion that we had last week in reference to Bikur Cholim is relevant to Nicham Aveilim as well. Although with Bikur Cholim you have a little bit more of an explicit reference to the Gemara. The Gemara in Bav Mitzi and Aflam and Mebeis, which we mentioned last week, the Pasuk in Parshas Yitro. So the Gemara darshins that Pasuk to Derech Yelchuba to include Bikur Cholim. We don't have a reference in that Pasuk to Nicham Aveilim, but nonetheless, it still was the opinion of many Rishonim that Nicham Aveilim is a mitzvah min HaTorah. It comes up in the halachic context in the beginning of the third parak of Brachos. The beginning of the third parak of Brachos, so there you have all the halachas of Aninus, and Loi Gorash was also a topic we considered for tonight. So the Gemara there says that a person who is involved in a funeral, certainly a person who is an Aninus, is Pater from mitzvahs. A person who, Rachman al-Aslan, is waiting to bury a relative, so that person is not obligated in mitzvahs. This is also true not only about the Onim, but the other people who were involved in the funeral process, mitam osik mitzvah patan a mitzvah, so they're also exempt from mitzvahs. So the Mishnah in the beginning of the third parak of Brachos describes the scenario. So let's say you haven't said Kriya Shema yet because you were involved in the funeral preparations. You're not the Ovel. The Ovel himself is a discussion also, but let's say for a second you're not the Ovel, you're somebody else, and you were involved in funeral preparations and helping out. But now, once the person's already been buried, once the person has already, the kvur has already taken place, so then the Mishnah says, if you have time to say Kriya Shema before they're going to get up to you in the Shura, before you're going to have to do the Nicham Avelim, so, okay, but if not, then you're apparently part from Kriya Shema then also. And the Rishonim, Tamir Ben Yonah, and Tosis Yontif, a lot of commentaries on the Mishnah point out that that's interesting. It's one thing to say you were patur from Kriya Shema until the funeral. You were osik b'mitzvah. You were helping to bring about the mitzvah of Kura. But now that the funeral is over, so why is it worth paturing you from Kriya Shema? So many Rishonim say that, look, you have a mitzvah min HaTorah of Nicham Aveil. This is a subset of Gemilas Chesed, and that's the mitzvah of the Yehavta Recha Kamocha. So you have a mitzvah min HaTorah, a commandment of Nicham Aveilim, so that's paturing from Kriya Shema. There's more to discuss about that, exactly the mechanics of how that works. But you do find, this is just one place where you find this expression, this idea, that Nicham Aveilim is a mitzvah min HaTorah. And the Rambam gives a striking emphasis to this mitzvah, and a comment that many Achronim pick up on in pretty near identical ways. This is a topic where you have a lot of Achronim saying pretty close to the same thing. So the Rambam has a comment that Nicham Aveilim is very important. This is there in Hilchas Avel also in Perek Yedaleh, I think it's Halacha Zayin. Rambam says that Nicham Aveilim is very important, and it would seem to him, Yeroi Ali says, it seems to him that it's even more important than Bikur Cholim. Right? So we're progressing. Last week we talked about Bikur Cholim, so now Nicham Aveilim is even more important. Because the Rambam says that Nicham Aveilim is a chesed for the mace and for the chai. Now, this concept, this Rambam was picked up in two ways. First of all, this idea of Nicham Aveilim being a chesed for the chai and for the meis is a very important theme which we'll discuss. But the technical issue, a lot of Achronim were surprised, the Arsameach, perhaps most prominently among them in the earlier sense, that the Rambam felt that Nicham Aveilim should take precedence over Bikur Cholim. And they pointed out that the Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah, and Daf Mem Aleph, the Zohar Sameach points this out, that the Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah that the Chasidei Yerushalayim used to walk around all day with their lulavim, and everything that they would do, all their daily activities that they would go about doing, they would do while carrying their lulav, whether they would go to Bimvaka Chole, whether they would go to Bimenachem Avil. So the Arsameach says that you seem to see from the way the Gemara presents it, that first was Bikur Cholim, and then it was Nicham Aveilim. How does the Ramban? I don't know if that quite, you know, if that Kash is necessarily going to keep you up all night. I mean, it could be that the Gemara is not being so precise. In fact, the Rush and the Tour happen to have a different gear, so the Rush and the Tour is switched. But Yor Samech was concerned about this, and others as well, that the Gemara seems to indicate that first they did Bikur Cholim and then they did Nicham Aveilim. So Yor Samech points out, an answer which will flush out a little bit, the Yor Samech points out, well, first of all, it was Yontif. So it was Yontif, so there's a reduced focus on Aveilus. Perhaps a nullification of Aveilus, but at the very least a reduced focus on Aveilus, the whole context of the Gemara is Yontif, so that must play a role in reprioritizing. But perhaps, okay, maybe that's what the Rambam means the rest of the year, that the rest of the year, so Nicham Aveilim takes precedence. So a number of Achronim have an approach. Here you really find everyone saying pretty much the same thing. Rav Zolti has an essay about this in a Sefer in Yoridei in Siman Lamed Zayin. And Rabbi Warman Shlita has a sefer, has an essay about this in Chelek Hay of the Sheres Yosef. There's also a tshuva about this in the Tshuva Glev of Ram in Simin Sadi Gimel. And they all basically address the same idea, that what the Rambam is basically telling us here is that we have two aspects to Nicham Aveilu. So on the one hand, there is a chesed for the chai. The person who, Rachman al-Aslan, is an Aveilu, the person is suffering, the person has had grief and anguish, so the basic chesed of Yehav Tzarecha Kamocha to address that and to try to help out and to try to bring comfort to these people who are in this matzah. So the chesed in Machai, an act of Nicham Aveilim, comes to address these tzaris that this person is going through. On the other hand, there is also a component of chesed to the mace. There's also a way in which you are addressing the mace. And this is in the spirit of the Chakir, the Gemara has. The Gemara asks by Hesed, the Gemara asks also in the context of Kavur a little bit, particularly by Hesped, and it's really a concept that's relevant to Avelus in general, that we want to know, is Avelus Yikara Dechaye or Yikara Deshchiva? Or is Hesped, is it something that we do in honor of the people who are alive, Yikara Dechaye? Or is it Yikara Deshchiva? Is it something that is in honor of the Nifter? And it can really be viewed in both ways. And this is something that's applicable also to Nicham Avelim. Nicham Avelim is a service to the survivors, the service to the family, but it's also a covenant to the mace. It's also a way of showing that the mace was important. When a person passes away, so we have a process of Avelis partially to show that this is not an event that goes unnoticed, to show that the person was chashuv and that we feel a sense of absence at his loss. So the Avelis itself is an act of covenant mace. And the fact that there should be visitors, that there should be a Nicham Aveilim, that even, not just that the Aveilim should pay attention to the fact that the Nifter was lost, but also the rest of the world should pay attention, that they should come and they should address this idea, and they should come and say, we are aware something happened here, so that is a cover for the mace. That is a cover for the mace. And we'll discuss in a second how the Gemara seems to bring an idea out, but it's relevant to this idea of Yontif also. So it could be, so a lot of Achronim explain, that it could be that normally when you go to an Avel, so you're Mekayim two mitzvahs, you're Mekayim a mitzvah of helping out the Avel, and you're showing kavod to the mace. So normally an act of Nicham Aveilim is an act of chesed to the mace and to the chai at the same time. However, on Yontif, we don't really have a shame Avelus. On Yontif, really, the status of Avelus is not really in effect. So there isn't really a Nicham Aveilim vis-a-vis the Avel. There's still a Nicham Aveilim as far as the Nifter is concerned, because there's still a matter of calling attention to the loss of the Nifter. But the aspect of Chesed Machai is not really there. So on Yontif, indeed, the priority should switch. Because, yes, there's still a Chesed Im HaMeis to do, but the Bikur Cholim, which is the chesed for a chai, that gives precedence because the sensitivity of the Gemara points out that we want to worry about the people who are alive first. So the people who are alive take kedimah, so the Bikur Cholim comes first. And Nicham Aveilim on Yontif, which is really primarily an act of chesed to the mace, that comes second. However, when it's not Yontif, and Nicham Aveilim is an act both of chesed for the mace and of chesed for the chai, so then that should take precedence because it's both. But on Yontif, it's only chesed for the mace, so Bikur Cholim is more important. And in this spirit, the Achronim who have this Mahalach, Zolti, for one, points out that could be pshat in the Rush and the Tours Girsa. They believe that even on Yontif, Nicham Aveilim takes precedence. They have the Girsa switched, right? So they wouldn't ask the Kasha on the Rambam because they have the Girsa switched. So So that's perhaps because they believe that l'shitasam that there is some status of avil on yontif. As dvarim shebitzin are noleg on yontif. That the Rambam disagrees with, but the Rosh and the Torah were of the belief that there is avelus bitzin yontif. That even though we don't have overt shiva on yontif, but there is some status of avelus. So there is some chesed machai as well. So perhaps even on yontif, nicham avelim should come first. Does that more or less make sense? So this idea is also addressed in a comment the Rambam has, the Shulchan Aruch picks up on also, that if you have a scenario where somebody passes away without Krovim, so then the Rambam has this idea that 10 kosher people should come and sit in the house where this person lived, and the Krovim, and except the Krovim and others, should come and treat them as Avelim and be Menachem these people. And the Rav says he doesn't understand what the Makar for this is, and others point out that there is a Makar. The Gemara seems to say the Farish, the Gemara in Shabbos, Nefkuf Nebe, says that this is what should happen, that if somebody passes away without any Krovim, so people should come and sit in the house. And the Lacha Mishnah points out that what the Rav was asking on is, how do you know that we treat them like Avelim? The Rambam seems to put that part on, that they actually take the place of Avelim. But nonetheless, the Achronim explained this idea of people coming to sit in a house where the Nifter lived, even without other relatives there, seems to be highlighting this idea that there is a chesed here to the mace as well. The Gemara says that for a 7-day period after the person passes away, so his neshama kind of hangs around and needs a nechama also. So even if there aren't any relatives to get the nechama, but there is still the neshama in whose presence is felt for 7 days for a period of shiva after he passes away, so there's an inyan to show kavod to that, even without any other living relatives. And based on that, the Lev Avraham in his tshuva about this in Sadi Gimel, so he points out that could probably explain why the Gemara says that if somebody passes away on Yontif, so even though shiva is pushed off till after Yontif, nonetheless people can still spend time with the people over Yontif, and then after Yontif, then there's shiva, but they don't really menachem, not really menachem the people in the same way. They just kind of make some expression of condolence because they really already dealt with it on Yontif. So Lev Avraham explains, based on Rishonim really, what does this idea mean that really was dealt with on Yontif before there was any Avelus? So he explains that the concept of addressing the mace whose neshama is still there for 7 days, that is addressed on Yontif. And so people who expressed concern for the Avelim over the course of Yontif, before Avelus was really in effect, they were addressing that aspect. But there's still the need to worry about the human beings, so that's a different angle. So that angle you also address, but it's a different way, has a different status. It's not the same type of nicham avelim that would have been called for under normal circumstances. Based on this idea of the same components, so again, to have a little deja vu from last week. So I mentioned last week that there are different components of Bikur Cholim, a very different type of shaila, but it prompted the very popular shaila among many achronim, that the question of whether or not Bikur Cholim can be fulfilled on the telephone. That was something we mentioned last week that many poskim were involved with. Rav Moshe Feinstein had a well-known tshuva about it, and many others. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, in that spirit, also has a tshuva about this. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Yoridei Chelik Dalet, in Siman Mem Aleph, I think it is, has a tshuva about, can one fulfill Nicham Avelim on the phone? A person calls up an Avel on the telephone, so is that a fulfillment of Nicham Avelim? He points out in the tshuva, says, by the way, this may sound familiar, I have a tshuva like this about Bikur Cholim also, go look up that one, but it's a different shaila, but he gives a similar answer for different reasons. That once again, we're dealing here with a concept that has different aspects to it, and the phone addresses some, but not all. So the aspect of giving some comfort to the Avelim, that you can address over the phone. But the idea of showing kavod to the mace, of an act of displayed honor to the mace, that really you don't accomplish so much by not physically going. So it's not a bad idea to call. It's better to say, basically it's the same answer as the Bikur Cholim question for different reasoning, that ideally you should go, you'll fulfill all the aspects, but if you call, so you'll fulfill some of it. You won't fulfill this idea of showing kavod to the mace, but you will fulfill this idea of bringing some comfort to the avelim of doing the chesed in machai. The Tshuva Shevet HaKahasi, the Bells Are Dying, Chelek Hei, in Siman Reishit Aleph, has a little chakira there. So we know the procedure is, if a person goes to a Levaya, So after the funeral is over, so they form a shura, the Avelim form a line, and everyone is menachem them then. So the Shevet HaKalasi asks, okay, so there's an obligation to visit an Avel and to comfort him. But Lamaisa, if you went to the funeral and you participated in this shura, so could you assume that you fulfilled your obligation then? Do you have to actually go back to the house afterwards? So he points out there that he quotes from Reb Chaim Brisker, that he has seen quoted that there is an idea that there is a chiyuv on the Avel to accept the Necham. It's not just that there's a chiyuv to be Menachem Avelim, there's also a chiyuv on the Avel to accept the Necham. And based on that, he points out that there's also a minig that's brought in Poskin. It's a question how much this is really followed nowadays, but there is a minig brought in Poskin that one shouldn't go during the first 3 days. Again, we'll parallel the last week we spoke about not visiting the first 3 hours. So here there's a minig not to go during the first 3 days. It's a big question whether or not this accepts the halacha l'maaseh, but it is, you do find that in Sfarim. And there's different reasons given, and one of the reasons being the person is not in a mental state to accept necham at that point. So what the Belz HaDayan suggests in the Shuvas Shevet HaKohasi is that if there is a chiyuv to accept the nechama, and a person is not in the matzah to do that then, so we're not going to necessarily go so far as to say the whole first 3 days have this din, but certainly at the levaya itself, a person is not in the matzah to accept the nechama, and that seems to be an integral part, so then perhaps that tells us that you're not really fulfilling the nechama velim then, and you have to come fulfill it again later. So I'm just wondering if there's makom to mefalpel whether or not these two types of accepting are the same thing. That maybe there's room to distinguish a little bit. That maybe the nechama that you can't accept at the levaya, maybe that's the emotional nechama, addressing the needs of the avel, so it's not shaykh to accomplish that so much at the kavur itself. Then you need to come back when the person's a little more settled, come back during the shiva itself. But what is this chiyuv that Reb Chaim is saying, this chiyuv of accepting the nechama? So is that part of the chesed machai? Or maybe that's part of the ritual in order to honor the neis? That maybe that's part of the Kavod HaMeis, that you should, not only you should mourn, but that you should accept others into your mourning procedure. That's part of showing Kavod to the Meis, and maybe there's a side to say that that's separate, and maybe that could be done then. Turns out that this idea of, this Reb Chaim, of accepting the Nechama, so this is also quoted by the Rav in a write-up that was in the Masorah Journal, in the fifth volume of the Masorah Journal, has a discussion about this, and the name of the Rav, where it quotes the idea from Reb Chaim. And the Rav has a little bit of a different formulation of this whole Chetzem Achai, Chetzem Ameis idea, in which he incorporates this Reb Chaim. And the Rav there says that basically Nicham Aveilum is part of the Hanhugas Aveilus. So one of the Dini Aveilus is that not only the person should abstain from everything that an Avil abstains from and sit on a low chair and all those other things, but that there should also be a Nicham process, that people should come and address him, and that he should accept it. So whether or not that necessarily makes a different component, I'm not sure, but it's a slightly different formulation that the Rav has, that this is part of the Hanhagas Avelus. And apparently he's saying the same idea in a little bit different words, that the same way Avelus is accomplishing two things, it's addressing the needs of the Avel, but it's also a way of showing kavod to the Meis. So part of the aspect of showing kavod to the Meis is this aspect of bringing in the Menachem as well, and accepting them as part of the procedures. So there might be room to move up a little bit whether or not these aspects are distinct from each other, whether or not with this whole idea of accepting the Avelus, accepting the Nechama, what category does that fall under? There's also a little bit of a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Ramah, and the Shach, which is, again, a topic relevant both to Bikur Cholam and Nicham Avelum. The question of, let's say, Rachman al-Flan, it's not supposed to happen, it's against the Pasuk and Chumash, but let's say you have two people who hate each other. So you have people who don't get along, Chas Shalom, it's not supposed to be, but let's say such a thing happens. So is there a mitzvah for, is it appropriate for such a person to be Mavaka Chole, to be Menachem Avelim? Or is there maybe a risk that'll make things worse, that'll look like he's happy with what's going on? So the Ramah does quote such an idea that maybe it's better not to go. And the Shach there has a modification. Well, you know, who knows, how do we classify a Sone? It all depends on how bad the animosity is. So that whole discussion stands on its own, but it's just interesting to address. There might also be an angle here One might say that that's one thing by Bikur Cholim, but by Nichma Veilim, there might be an added component. That when the mitzvah is all about the two parties here, so then there's room to have this whole discussion. But when here, there's also this added component of the visit being a covet to the mace, so maybe that's an extra svar to throw in. Again, if they're going to erupt and kill each other, so it's probably still not a good idea. But even though they themselves might not get along, the extent to which the visit might be a covet to the mace might also be an extra factor to keep in mind. This is also relevant to a shaila discussed in the Sefer Tshuva Siach Yitzchok as to whether or not there's a din of Nichma Veilim by a Rasha. It's a question how much that whole concept is Megeva's Manazeh also, but sometimes you find in Halacha certain distinctions between a Rasha and a non-Rasha in relation to certain mitzvahs and other Mechaveir. Again, it's a question Halacha Maisi whether or not any of these distinctions are going to apply, so let's assume for a second they do. So is there a mitzvah of Nichma Veilim for when the Avel is a Rasha? It's something discussed in the Shuvah Siach Yitzchak. And one could also just point out that there might be room to add in a different factor here, because here we're not necessarily coming for the good of the Avil alone, that's one aspect, but there's also the added component of showing Kavod Hameis, so maybe that's a reason to come, even if you feel that the Avil himself is not necessarily worthy of such attention. Again, the whole point is of questionable relevance, but just it might be an extra factor to throw in. It's a very interesting idea that was thrown in, that very extra idea that's expressed in this article in Masorah, I didn't see anywhere else. So there is quoted in the name of the Rav, that maybe one should be makbid. So we know that the minhag seems to be, if one goes to a house where there's a family of avelim, there's more than one avel, so the nusach might be the same either way, but very often someone will leave the house and will address the whole family and say, Hamalkam yinachem eschem besoch sha'avele siyam Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring you all in the chama. It could be that we use eschem whether you're talking to an individual, it's a question, but in any case, very often people address the entire family and say, you should all have a nechama. The Rav apparently thought that maybe there was an issue here of chavilas, that in general we have an idea that one should not try to fulfill mitzvahs, kill two birds with one stone. You're not supposed to try to get too many mitzvahs in one shot, because the way Rashi understands in Pesachim, it's a whole discussion we're not going to get into right now, but the way Rashi understands in Pesachim is it looks to you like it's a burden. If you try to get mitzvahs done in a super efficient way, it looks like you're really not interested in doing the mitzvah. It looks like you're trying to get them done as efficiently as possible, and it looks bad for the mitzvah. So ideally, you shouldn't do that. So perhaps the concern should be applied here as well. And when a person says, Hamalkim Yinachem Eschem to the crowd in one shot, maybe that's not appropriate. Maybe one should say individually to each other, Hamalkim Yinachem Oscha or Eschem, in the respectful sense, but not eschem in the plural sense. So I was just thinking here also that there might be room to clarify a little bit, because when we're dealing with a nichum avelim addressed to the avil, so that's where there's more room to have the suffix, because you have to menachem this avil and that avil and that avil, and you do it all in one shot as a chashash chavilus. But perhaps there's also the added component of showing cover to the mace, and that's not necessarily addressed to any particular avil, that's addressed to the nifter, through the mechanism of the Avelim. And perhaps then, at least from that component, there isn't so much of a concern of Chavilus, because it's all one big mitzvah of Nichum Avelim for the Avelim of this Nifter. So maybe from that angle, there's less of a concern. It's still not going to negate the issue, because you still have the Nichum Avelim for the individuals, but perhaps it's still a relevant point to think about. Just a side point, when we're on the topic of the Nusach of Hamalkim Yinachem. So I had a suffix when I was in Karen B'Yavne. So the father of Rabbi Meir Goldberg passed away. The father of Rabbi Meir Goldberg was the brother of the Rosh Yeshiva of Karen B'Yavne, Rabbi Chaim Yaakov Goldberg. So at that time, the Rosh Yeshiva of Karen B'Yavne was sitting Shiva with Rabbi Meir together in Rabbi Meir's father's apartment in Shai Chesed. And I went to pay a shiva call, and I remember having a suffix at the time, so in Karen B'Yavne we were always very makbid to address the shiva in the third person, and not to say you, ever. So, to say the nusach of Hamalkim Yinachem Oscha, I felt uncomfortable saying. I didn't really seriously have a shiva, I didn't think you should really change it, but I had a little bit of discomfort, because we were so trained not to ever say you to the shiva. So I was uncomfortable saying Hamalkim Yinachem Oscha. I wasn't sure how to say it. I think in the end I kind of mumbled and ran out. I wasn't sure how to deal with it. Many years later, actually, just last year, a sefer came out by the title of Aleihu Lo Yibo. And the sefer is a basically a surveillance. It's basically a report of a lot of comments that Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach made. Somebody asked Reb Shlomo Zalman many shilas and got many responses, and they're all recorded in this book. A lot of fascinating things. So there it says that Reb Shlomo Zalman was asked, what should a nusach be if a person is going to a Talmid Chacham who is always referred to in the third person and whose minig is not to refer to as you? So what should the practice be if that Talmid Chacham is sitting Shiva? So should the person say Hamalka Minachem Oscha, or should he say something else? Should he say some third person language so to avoid the Oscha? And the conclusion there was that Reb Shlomo Zalman said you should leave things the way it is, you shouldn't change it. But it says there in the Shaila, it says, I'm not asking Stam. So I'm asking Alach L'Maisa because Rabbi Goldsmith is sitting Shiva and I'm going to go see him and I want to know how to say it. So it was my Shiloh. It was not only my Shiloh, it was my Shiva. It was the same case. This, because the same neighborhood. This was, Rav Shiva's brother was the Gabbai in Reb Shlomo Zalman Shul. So this person was going to go see Rabbi Goldberg, and he wanted to know before going, so he changed the Nusach or not. And, Baruch Shekivanti to the Aliyah Le'ibo. In any case, so this issue of the Nusach, was one of the things that the Rav addressed here in this Masora article, and perhaps it might be a little bit relevant how you view the mitzvah in general. The Sefer Shorshim B'Smachas points out that this is the Sefer on Avelus, Shorshim B'Smachas, so he points out that this whole double focus on Avelus also comes up because you see that there are times when there is a din of Avelus without a din of Nichum. There are times when Chazal created the concept of Avelus without an accompanying chiyuv of Nechama. And those two cases are, one is known as Likud Atzamas, which basically means if the body is exhumed and transferred to a different grave, if the body is moved around after burial, so during that time, so if a family, assuming they know about it, you know, Avelus is dependent upon the Avelim being aware of it, but assuming the family is aware the body is being moved, so there is a status of Avelus on the family during that time. It was renewed, even though, let's say, the person could have been dead 30 years, but then for some reason they move around the body, so there is an Avelus during then. And also, Rahman al-Islam, for a young baby, an infant, less than 30 days, so there is no real halachic Avelus with Nichum Avelim, but there is some status of Avelus that's attached to the parents. And both these cases, there's some kind of Avelus status, but there is no status of, there's no din of Nichum. And Tosas and Mordkaten, in addressing one of these cases, I think the Nafel case, points out that, okay, because it's lesser Avelus, in one case, in the Likra Thomas case, we're dealing with just basically a lesser Avelus, because it's not really the time when the tragedy happened, it's just involving the body at some later date. And in the case of the Nafel, it's a lesser Avelus, because we're not sure if there should be Avelus at all. We're not sure if the baby was a Bar Kayama or not, so we're not sure if there was a Chiyuv Avelus. So it's kind of misafek, we have a kind of a reduced Avelus. So in both these cases, okay, there's some Avelus, but we're not, Tosfos says, we're not machmer on the Avel that he should have a Nichum also. So Shorash Mosmachas points out, it's a very interesting language. We're not machmer on you, you should have a Nichum. I thought Nichum was good. I thought Nichum was something that makes his life easier for a person. So as he points out, so to a certain extent that's true. When a person is really in a normal situation of grief and everything is fresh, so there's the emotional need to address their Avelus, to address the anguish they're going through, and that's the chesed machai of Nichum Avelim that takes place then. There's also the component of chesed hames that the kavod hames that comes about by there being a process of Nichum, which means that even beyond the person's need for nechama, so we kind of impose a Nichum also in order to address the needs of kavod hames. But that could also become a burden on the person, but even though it can become a burden on the person, it's still accomplishes something because it accomplishes the covenant and the mace. So under normal circumstances we ask that be addressed as well. But when we don't have a normal Avelus, when there's just a status of the Avelus, but we don't have all the details of normal Avelus, so it can become a chumrah to bring that component in also, because it also goes beyond the emotional needs of the family. And so we don't bring that component in when it's not the normal circumstance. Just to mention another point, there is a din by a melech. So by a melech, the din is that the melech is not supposed to have a normal shiva. And that's how the Rambam says in Halachas Melachim. For the melech himself, the melech as a mourner, he shouldn't have a normal shiva because it's kind of a lowering of his status in public. And the Rambam in Halachas Evel, I think in Parv Zayin, Halacha Ches, The Rambam spells it out more. He says, the people who are shayach, you don't have the whole world coming in and saying sugar call to the king. The people who are shayach, people who have rishus to come into his inner chambers, so they come in and they comfort him. So there is a sefer on Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam, a big sefer on Hilchos Malachim called Be'er Miriam. Many, many volumes, I think, all on Hilchos Malachim, if I'm not mistaken. So many long essays on Hilchos Malachim. So in Perek Beis HaLachadal of Hilchos Malachim, where this Avelis idea is addressed also, so he has a discussion of this, and he points out, so the components of Kavod HaMeis that is present in Avelis, that we don't impose upon the king, because that takes away from the Kavod HaMelech. The Melech has the right to be mocha on his own Kavod, and so therefore the component of having everyone come to see him, that we don't do. But the aspect of addressing his own personal anguish, so that he has a right to have people come help him with. But that, so that's more of a personal thing, so that's not addressed by all the rabbim coming in and seeing him. That's addressed by the people who he's really close with. So that's why the rabbim said, the person who has rishus to come in, the people who we have a real shayachas to, whose presence really would bring comfort to him, so to that extent you have a shiva. But the extent to which you open up the palace to the whole world to come in, so that's somewhat of a lowering of the status of the melech, so to that extent you don't too. And that's kind of a flip reflection of these two stadim that we've been discussing. So just to close, say a word or two about what is the goal of Nichum Avelim. What do you try to do when you're Menachem Avel? So Rashi has an important expression in Shabbos and Daf Yud Beis. There again, that's the Gemara that came up last week. What we mentioned last week in the context of being Mevakar Cholam on Shabbos, and you question whether or not it's appropriate to do that when you daven for the Cholam on Shabbos. So the Gemara there also says there's a problem between Menachem Avelim on Shabbos, and Rashi explains the reason it's a problem is because you join in their anguish, that you feel their tzar, and that's going to stay your Shabbos. That's not appropriate for Shabbos. So it seems to highlight, and post can pick up on this, that there's also that one of the main goals that you do when you come to see an Avel is you come to try to absorb some of their suffering. You try to join in their suffering and somehow through that make it a little bit less. That's one of the main goals of Nichum Avelim. The Rav in this piece of Masora is quoted as stating it a little further and saying that one of the things you're supposed to emphasize to an Avel is that, you know, eventually there'll be Yeshua and there'll be a Tchias Mesim, and that eventually the happiness that will be in the life of this Avel will be so great that it will overshadow all the negative. And you're supposed to try to bring about a comfort that way and tell them that ultimately they're going to be happier than they are now in such a way that it's going to overshadow all their suffering. And then he comes to a Dei Chiddush. He says there that also that part of the idea, again, to parallel Bikur Cholim. Bikur Cholim, one of the goals is to try to address the needs the Cholim might have when he's in hospital and can't take care of his own needs. So part of what you have to do is try to take care of that. So too, an Avel, who has come to a loss, so you have to try to address that loss as much as possible. So too, if a person, let's say the person who passed away was the breadwinner of the family, and now the family is going to have a financial hardship, so part of the chiyuv of Nichum Avelim, the Rav claims, is to try to raise money in order to try to make up for the financial loss the family is suffering. But then he says even more, that consistent with what he said, they're supposed to try to bring about a sense of feeling that things will be better in such a way that it will make up for the suffering. So it's not enough to try to raise money to make up for what they're missing, you have to try to raise more money, because you have to try to convince them that they're better off now than they would have been. So it's not enough to try to make up the financial loss that they have now. You have to try to go even beyond that. That sounds like a big chiddush. All right, so we just quickly chaz what we spoke about. So we mentioned that Nichum Avelim comes up in this week's parasha later than all the other Avelis topics do, not just by Sarah, but by Avram Avinu. So the parasha tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mevarech Yitzchak, and the Gemara in Sota says that this is a mitzvah of Kadosh Baruch Hu and Nachum Avelim, and we have a mitzvah of the Halach V'drachov, so Nichum Avelim is one of our mitos that we're supposed to copy. And in general, the mitzvahs of Chesed, the Rambam writes, are V'hatzarech Kamocha, that's what we discussed last week, so we won't go so much into that now. But the question, whether V'hatzarech Kamocha is a positive actions or negative actions, but the Rambam understands all Chesed in this rubric, and the specific chasadim are Takanas Rabbanan, but it does seem that Nichum Avelim is treated as a deraisa by the comment of many Rishonim in the beginning of the third pack of Brachas, who explained that someone who was involved in Nichum Avelim was part of Kriyashma because of the mitzvah deraisa of Nichum Avelim. And I mentioned the Rambam says Nichum Avelim is such a big deal because the chesed for the chai and for the mace, and therefore it's more important than Bikur Cholim. And the Orsamech's kasha that seems to be against the Gemara, which says that the Anyantif, the people, the Chassid Yerushalayim, would come to be Mavakir Cholim and to Menachem Avelim. Sounds like first to be the Cholim, then Nichum Avelim. So Rosh Hashanah points out that Yontif affects the equation, And they mentioned the general approach in Achronim, picking up on what the Rambam was saying, is that there's two components of the Velus. First of all, addressing the needs of the Avel, and also addressing a Kavod HaMeit angle, because as the Gemara says, that the Neshama is around for a week afterwards, and we want to show Kavod to that Neshama. And so that aspect is relevant on Yontif, but the comfort in the Avelim is not, because there is no status of the Avelis on Yontif, and so therefore the Gemara, which is talking about Yontif, has this priority, but the rest of the year, so Nicham Avelim takes precedence. And then we also pointed out, that as Rivelti points out, that the Rosh and the Torah have different Girsa, and it could be because she taught them that there is some Avelis on Yontif. I pointed out that that's what the Rambam is getting at, when the Rambam says that 10 people should come into Shiva in the house with no other Krovim, and that that's based on the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf and Gimel. But the Lech Mishnah points out the Rambam is saying more than this, that the Ravid is asking the Rambam saying more than the Gemara, the Rambam is saying they're actually Avelim. But this is pointing out that even beyond the responsibility of showing comfort to the Avel, is also an Indian to show Kavod to the Mace, and that's what's accomplished even if there are no Krovim. And the Lev of Ram's point that that seems to explain why the Gemara says there's some Nichum Avelim that's accomplished on Yantif, even though there's no Avelus then, but then the Shum of the Mace angle is still addressed. And we pointed out Moshe Feinstein's tshuva about whether or not you can fulfill Nichum Avelim on the phone, how it parallels Bikur Cholim, and that there are these two components, and some you can do, some you can't do, so it's better than nothing, but it's not as good as everything, and it's reminiscent of Bikur Cholim in that way. Pointed out the discussion in the Ramah and the Shach about Bikur Cholim by Etzone and Nichum Avelim by Etzone. We mentioned that Nichum Avelim maybe should be treated a little differently, because there is also a different party here, the Nifter, which is also relevant to the Chakir and the Shiva Siyach Yitzchak, about whether or not it's appropriate to do Nichum Avelim by a Rasha. It could be that here again is the third party to take into account. And we mentioned the Rav Skpeda that perhaps you shouldn't say Hamok Minachem to the whole group as a whole, because there's a Chashash of Chavilus Chavilus. And we just pointed out that the Chavilus Chavilus component is only relevant to the Nechama of the Avel, but it's not, maybe not as relevant to the Kavod HaMeis angle, because there we're not necessarily dealing with individual Avelim, but to the group as a whole. We mentioned the Shorash Mesmachas' discussion about the different times when there's a status of Avelos without a Chi of Nichum, that being Likur Atzamas and a Tinok, and Tosa's comment that we weren't Machmir on these people to make them have Nichum, and how that's striking, because we always relate to Nichum as a Chesed, but apparently there's these two components, Nichum for the Mace and Nichum for the Chai, and so the Nichum for the Mace angle we don't impose upon these people who are not going through the other issues normally associated with the Velus. And we pointed out the Rambam's comments about a Melech, that a Melech doesn't sit Shiva in the normal way, but the people who were Shaykh can come in and comfort him, and the Bear Miriam's discussion that the aspect of Kavod HaMeis doesn't play a role here as much, because Kavod HaMelech outweighs it, but the anguish the Melech is going through still should be addressed by the people who are close to him and who can really bring him the Chama. And then we just close by mentioning some of the comments that are relevant to what the goal of Nichum Avelim is, how it should be looked at. We mentioned Rashi in Shabbos that a person who is Nichum Avelim ideally would join in their tzaras. That's why it's not so consistent with Shabbos, but it tells us something about what Nichum Avelim should be, that there should be a sense of identification with the tzaras of the person. And then we mentioned also the Rav's idea that you're supposed to try to tell the person that things are going to be better than they ever were. And ultimately, and that's also true practically, supposed to try to make up for whatever they're missing, if it's financial or anything addressable in that way. And perhaps, therefore, you have to even go even further. In the same way you're telling them that things are ultimately going to be better than they are now, so too you have to try to help them out financially more than what they're missing, so that they should feel that they have this sense of comfort that comes from things ultimately being better. Okay, so we'll stop there. Next week we'll talk about...